I recently heard a father, much older than myself, share this insight. The scripture speaks of children as arrows, and if you are curious of where that's found, that is found in Psalm 127. But the scripture speaks of arrows, speaks of children as arrows. And so therefore, this father was saying that therefore we need to aim them. We need to point them in the right direction. And that illustration has stuck with me as I've considered fathers and fatherhood. How many of you remember today was Father's Day? It's funny that everybody but the fathers raised their hands, right? No. Today's Father's Day. And I'm just excited about the opportunity to speak about this topic and this role. Obviously, it's very personal to me. I'm a father, and I am the son of a great father, and I am the child of the heavenly father. And you also can speak the same thing. You're the child of the king, the child of God the Father. You know, fatherhood is something that seems to be the art of fathering. Being a good father seems to be something that is dying out in our culture and in our days. It is sad for me as I interact with different people in my role as pastor and counselor, as they communicate to me the struggles that they have found in their own lives as a result of some of the failings and difficulties of their upbringing, specifically related to their fathers. In recent days, I heard of a young lady, and she had a very difficult upbringing. And she recently said this, "Well, you don't really understand. I didn't have a father growing up. Her father was in and out of prison and just not there for her." And what is sad is she uses that as an excuse for a lifestyle that, hey, it's frankly not of the Lord. You know, you see, fathers, we play an incredibly powerful role in the family. We're key. We are absolutely key to a family. It's wonderful to see children here today, and I'm glad that you get to hear this exhortation to fathers. Young men, I want you to pay specific attention, because, you know, a father is a man. And someday you will grow up, and Lord willing, you too will have the opportunity to be a father. And you know, ultimately, think about fathers as we raise our sons. As we raise our sons to be godly, that affects generations of families. Fatherhood is so very key. As I've been thinking about this in the last several months, I have come to this realization that if you are to be a godly father, then you need to purposefully have a vision for your children. I recently had the opportunity to counsel with a family, and as I was sharing with them, they're struggling with some things with their child, and what I shared with them, I gave them this assignment. And if you come and if I have opportunity to counsel with you, I usually give assignments. You take home and you work on these kinds of things. You read these passages of scripture, whatever it might be. But I gave this assignment. And the assignment was this. I want you to go home, and I'm speaking mainly to the dad here, but also to the wife. But you go home and you guys write down a vision for your child. In other words, how do you believe God would want to shape this young man so that when he is of age and he steps out of your home, he looks like this? What is it that you desire, what you believe God would want this young man to be like? And as I thought about what was coming out of my mouth, it struck me. That is key. Because, think about this, if you don't have a target, you're going to miss every time. And God's word gives us some clear directions on what it means to be a father and what it is that God desires to be in our children. How does God want to build up these children to be sons and daughters of His that are pleasing to Him? As I thought about this, my mind went to Deuteronomy. So I encourage you to turn to Deuteronomy. Now you might say, why Deuteronomy? Well, we go to Deuteronomy because of this. You see, Deuteronomy is Moses exhorting the people of Israel right before they go into the promised land. Now, what's significant is that this group of people, these are the children of the initial group of people that have exited out of Egypt. I mean, we know the story, right? They exit out of Egypt and they receive the law from Mount Sinai. There God meets them, the Ten Commandments they receive. But of course, along the way, they rebel against the Lord. They choose not to follow His ways. They complain. They're afraid to go into the promised land. And God says, okay, fine. You wander the wilderness for 40 years, and your children will get to go in. So everybody that was 20 or under now have grown, and now they're 60. Their parents have all died off. And there's this new generation. And so when the law was originally given, these would have been young people. And now Moses, in the book of Deuteronomy, reiterates the law. He speaks the law to these people so that they are then equipped for their going in to the promised land. Now in the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 6, we see some very specific instructions, and we see them directed towards fathers and towards families. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 1, we see, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. What is it that God desires for our children? What's the vision that we should have so that as we are shaping and disciplining and training and our children, what are we shooting for? I believe God wants us to shoot for children that fear the Lord. Now, what's interesting in the book of Deuteronomy is that Moses recounts what God did and how God gave them the law. You have never seen it, and neither have I. But when God showed up on Mount Sinai, it was earth-shattering. Lightning and thunder and a deep darkness flooded the mountain. So it was so great that the people were instructed to stay away from the mountain. If they laid one foot on the base of the mountain, they would have been killed. Now, do you think these people feared God? I mean, they witnessed an incredible display. And now we have this new generation coming up. They would have been children when they saw that. But all throughout their wilderness wanderings, they saw God time and time again providing for them. They saw God leading them with a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night. They saw God and they knew He was great. So if we're seeking to develop in our children a fear of God, and what I mean by a fear, young people, is a fear of God, not the fact that you're afraid to go and talk to God, but the fact that you think God is so great that you will do whatever He says and you will respect Him because He is mighty. You see, God is mighty. And we as parents need to instill within our children the greatness
and the power and the might of God. How do we do that? I can't give you an exhaustive list, but here's some illustrations. One of them is you can expose your children to people who have come to Christ in the recent past. And allow your children to hear the testimonies of people's lives that have been changed. From darkness to light. That is the incredible power of God. When you see a person's life, that is totally different. How else can you understand the incredible power of God? Well, God gives us this creation and this nature as an incredible display of His glory. So you take your children and you go out and you watch the sunset. And you ask your children, how'd that get there? And listen to them hem and haw and wonder, and there's no other answer but what? God did that. It's tragic, but we see the incredible power of nature in the storms that have recently hit the center of our country. And you see, yes, you see the incredible abilities of nature and the power of these storms, but more so, allow your children to see how people who know God respond to those tragedies. I'm so encouraged when I hear testimonies on the news of people that speak of God as their hope and their strength, even in the midst of difficult times. Moses tells them that you might fear the Lord your God, verse 2, to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your son's son, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. You see, we as fathers, we need to have a target. We need to be shooting for what? That we build children who fear the Lord. That we build children who are ready and available to receive the blessing of God. You see, one of the Ten Commandments is this. Honor your father and your what? What? All right, that's pretty important, right? Honor your father and your mother, both of them. But you see, that's not the... There's a whole bunch more to that. Honor your father and mother. Just look at... Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 5. And you're going to see verse 16, honor your father and your mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you in the land which the Lord thy God giveth you. You see, this is the commandment with a what? Promise. With a promise. And young people, fathers, we need to instill within our children this principle. Obedience brings blessing. And you know what? We can be so quick to correct our children and to discipline them when they are wrong. But how often do they experience the blessing of when they do things that are right? I tell you, that's an incredible opportunity that we have to instill blessing within our children. You did a good job. I'm proud of you. I recently had the opportunity with one of my children to do that. I was so proud. I saw this child in a challenging situation make the right choice. And I flooded this little one with praise. Because you know what? Obedience brings blessing. The middle of chapter
6, verse 2, it says, "Which I command you, thou and your son and your son's son, all the days of your life, that thy days may be prolonged." Look at verse 3. "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with you, that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of your fathers hath promised you, in the land that floweth with milk and honey." You will experience the blessings of God as you obey. Do your children understand obedience brings blessing? I'm sure they understand the flip side of that. Right? I mean, just the matter of your response there tells us, hey, we're doing pretty good with that. But fathers, do they understand the affirmation and the blessing of, "You did a good job, son. I'm proud of you, daughter. You obeyed. You did the right thing." You see, God does that with us, doesn't he? There's blessing when we obey. So what are we shooting for? What's the target? Children that are fearing God. Children that experience the blessing of God. Thirdly, children that understand love. You look at the text, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Love. Think about love. Think about it. As you contemplate life, and you think about all the different scenarios, relationships, situations in life, love is what is all narrowed down to. What did Jesus say when he was asked this question? What's the greatest commandment? He said this, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." That's the first and greatest commandment. That's what Jesus said. I'm going to go along with him. And you know what? So should you. Our children need to understand the importance of loving God and loving people. They need to understand the importance of loving God, because it is that relationship that will govern their relationships with people. If you children grasp the importance of loving God, that is going to go a long way in helping you love other people. And fathers, we need to instill within our children the importance of love. How do we do that? Well, I'm sure that you will come into circumstances and times when your children are having a difficult time in a relationship. It could be young or it could be old. We've got to bring in the concept and the idea of love. We've got to talk about that. If God's word tells us that we are to love God and to love people, love our neighbor as you love yourself, is really what it says, then how can you love in this situation? Are you loving God by the way you are responding? You see, Jesus told his disciples, they will know that you are my disciples if you keep my commandments. You see, an obedient heart, a heart that walks in the ways of God, is a heart that is displaying a love for God. Love. God desires our children to love. Let's read on in our text in Deuteronomy chapter 6. We'll pick up in verse 6. "And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children. You shall talk of them when you sit
in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord your God shall have brought you into the land which he swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells dug which you have dug not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as he tempted him in Massa. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded you. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you and that you may go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Verse 19, to cast all your enemies from before you as the Lord hath spoken. And now look at verse 20. And when your son asks you in times to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then you shall say unto your son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, and he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive, as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness, if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. You know why I read all that? I read all that because what you see is you see a legacy of the work of God instilled in the children. It strikes me that Moses has these fathers saying to their sons, this is what God did. You know what God desires for your children? God desires that your children have a legacy of faithfulness to the Lord. That your children have a history that they can speak of, that they can recount of times that God had met their needs. Of times when God had delivered them. And you know what that means? That means what you are doing now counts. The way you lead your family now, men, is building a legacy for your children upon which they can recount to their children the faithfulness of God. How are you doing in building a strong legacy for your children? That they can look back and say, wow, God did that, and God did that. You see, God desires for your children to fear the Lord, to understand blessing, to love, to have a legacy or a history to speak of God's faithfulness. And finally, we see God desires our children to be wise. To be wise. You've read the book of Proverbs. If you haven't, I encourage you to do so. But how often do you find these words, my son, my son? And really, the book of Proverbs is written in such a form
that it's like a father to a son. And this is the wisdom that I want to instill in you, son. Just this morning, I had an opportunity with one of my boys to sit down with them and look them in the eye and to share with them some wisdom. Some wisdom for a small little thing compared to normal life. But the small little thing of not going with the crowd, of standing up for what is right, that kind of wisdom will pay dividends in the future. But you know what? Our children need us to look them in the eye. Our children need us to pour wisdom into them so that they know how to handle the times when their peers may be doing something that's wrong. They need to know it's wise to stand up for what is right no matter what. That's wisdom. You know, the book of Proverbs is full of that kind of wisdom. And I'm not going to go through and give all of that to you. But you see in the book of Proverbs that fathers seek to instruct their sons in wisdom and knowledge and understanding. A father is one who gives instruction and one who corrects. A father is one who gives commands. You know what? Our children need boundaries. As much as our culture says, let your children go and be free, they will not survive. Our children thrive in an environment where there are boundaries, and God's Word calls upon us fathers to establish those boundaries, to clearly communicate those boundaries, instilling wisdom, and then to enforce those commands. A father gives instruction and corrects. A father gives commandments. And a father corrects his children because he loves and delights in them. Children, I'm sure you've heard this, but the book of Proverbs says this: for whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as a father the son in whom he delights. Correction, discipline is not fun, right, children? Yeah, it's not fun. But I tell you what, it helps us as we grow older to walk in the right path and to have a life that is pleasing to the Lord. So fathers, today's a special day, and I trust that you are experiencing the blessing of this special day. But just like they do in the army, as they prepare their guns and they say, ready, aim, fire. The exhortation for us today is ready, aim, Father. Lord, I pray that you would challenge our hearts and help us with these truths. Lord, you have called us as men to lead. And I pray that as you have given us these children, I pray, God, for the strength and the wisdom and the grace to be faithful. And I thank you for your word that cast this vision for us of the importance of fearing you, of loving you, of obedience bringing blessing. Lord, of the importance of a history and legacy of your faithfulness and wisdom. God, I pray that you would equip your men today. Go with them and be their strength as they enter their homes, as they sit with their children, as they talk with them, as they go with them. I pray that those occasions of life will be times of great instruction. Lord, I thank you for the meal that we are about to partake. And I ask, Lord, that you'd bless this fellowship and that you'd guide your people safely on their way. In Jesus' precious name, amen.